ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Who knows what that mantra means? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What is the meaning of the mantra? We offer our obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. Or, Vasudeva also means one who is situated everywhere. So, that's also the meaning. When we offer our supreme obeisances to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, who is situated everywhere. One thing on Charinamrita, I notice devotees don't do that. Do you read the mantra? Are the mantras there? Take the Charinamrita, and then you chant that mantra. And the last part of the mantra says, you know, I take this, you know, water, so I take this which prevents one from dying untimely like that, and I hold that water on my head. So after you wash your hand, you're supposed to wipe it on your head like that. If you don't do that, it's not considered to be complete. So you take it, sip it, then wash it, and go like that. We've always learned that, but through the years, people forget some of the little things, so that's important. So always wipe it on your head after you wash your hand, like that. Yeah, well, you can do like that, but it's kind of sticky. Sometimes it sticks into your hair, and if you don't mind. Either way, it's good. If you do it that way, it's sticky, and it's also... Yeah, you can do it that way. You can, actually, maybe that's, but we always learned after we wash our hands to put it on, wipe it like that. If you have a sika, your sticky hair, sika turns into a, kind of like a candy cane after a while. But, you know, you should actually, yeah, take it, sip it, and then wipe it on your head like that. I wash first. I've seen devotees wash it. That's the way I've learned it. Either way, it's good. You're actually never washing it really off, because when you wash it off, it's the water blends with the Charinamrita, so whatever water's on your hand is still a mixture of the Charinamrita when you mix like that. But don't forget to do that part. It's important. Charinamrita is powerful. Story of Ramanujacharya. One man tried to poison him. He was a pujari in the Ranganath temple. One temple. I think it was Ranganath. Yeah, he was really envious of Ramanujacharya's position and his popularity. So he tried to kill him. Nowadays, we don't have such problems, right? People don't try to kill us yet, anyway. Ramanujacharya was so powerful. One day, he arranged for his wife to put poison in Ramanujacharya's food and invite him to lunch. So, she agreed. But then when she saw Ramanujacharya come for lunch, she saw his sweet, humble, innocent nature. She just couldn't do it. Just broke her heart to think about it. So she actually told him, you know, my husband said, you know, she said, don't eat this food. It's got poison in it. And Ramanujacharya was thinking, why does everyone want to kill me? What's wrong with me? So the next day, after learning from his wife that she couldn't do it, he decided to try again. So he put a whole bunch of poison in the Charinamrita. And knowing that Ramanujacharya would come at a certain time, he put it just when he was coming. So he came up and he realized that this Charinamrita is full of poison. And he knew it was enough to kill him. But he thought, Charinamrita, I must take. It's the mercy of the Lord. I cannot refuse Charinamrita, because it's one of the regulative principles. So he took the Charinamrita anyway, even though it was full of poison and he knew it. And then, a little later on, he started having ecstatic symptoms. And the pujari was thinking, aha, now he's dying. Poison's taking effect. So he left. And after some time he came back. There was a whole crowd of people around Ramanujacharya. And he was effulgent. He was sitting there in meditation. He was completely effulgent. The poison never even touched him. This is the power of Ramanujacharya. And then, of course, the pujari, realizing what a great saint he was, he surrendered to him, and Ramanujacharya forgave him for his offenses. But he was thinking, you know, the Charinamrita is the mercy of the Lord. I cannot refuse it, even though it has poison in it. I don't know if we could do that. But that was Ramanujacharya. He was so powerful. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, text number 25. Tamasarapi bhuta dehir virkuvana rabunabaha tasya matram gunat sabdho lingam yadrastu drisyayeho. Translation purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Again, we're getting very technical. This is a very technical purport describing the relationship between sound and sky. So, if I listen up, you'll learn something about science. From the five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water, and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of the false ego. This means that the false ego is the sum total of the Mahatattva and is generated from the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. And due to this false ego of lording it over material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord. Factually, save and except the Lord, no one can be called the enjoyer. But the living entity falsely desires to become the enjoyer. This is the origin of false ego. When the bewildered living being desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. It is said that first the tanmatra sound is created, and then the sky. So here's where it gets real technical. And in this verse it is confirmed that sound, actually it is so. I'll read that again. It is said that first the tanmatra sound is created, and then the sky. So first comes sound. Sound, and then from sound comes sky. And in this verse is confirmed that actually it is so, but sound is the subtle form of sky. So subtle to gross. So sound is created from sound. The expansion of sound is sky. You follow? Marari, you got that? Marari, Haribo, woohoo, come back. You're getting too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable or you'll just go to sleep. So here again, so sound is generated and then sky. And sound is a subtle form of the sky. Just like sound waves travel in the akash, or in the sky. Just like we know radio waves are transmitted through the ether. Even science has discovered this phenomena. how radio waves can be traveled through the ether. So sound and sky are connected together. And says in here, and the distinction is that between the seer and the seen. So one is the seer, one is the seen. The sound is the representation of the actual object. And as the sound produces speaking of the object, it gives an idea of the description of the object. So sound describes the characteristics of something. So when you speak about something, you're describing its characteristics. So that comes in the form of sound. So sound is descriptive. So you learn something about something from sound. The sound is the representation of the actual object. As the sound produced speaking of the object gives an idea of the description of the object. Therefore, sound is the subtle characteristic of the object. Sound is the subtle characteristic of an object. You follow that? Okay. Similarly, sound representation of the Lord in terms of his characteristic is the complete form of the Lord as was seen by Vasudeva and Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. The sound representation of the Lord is non-different from the Lord himself, because the Lord and his representation in sound are absolute knowledge. Lord Chaitanya has instructed us that in the holy name of the Lord, as sound representation of the Lord, all the potencies of the Lord are invested. So you see the connection, how Krishna can be connected to his name is non-different. Although it's just the name Krishna is simply a sound vibration, still it includes the characteristics of Krishna within the sound. Thus, one can immediately enjoy the association of the Lord by pure vibration of the sound representation of his holy name, and the concept of the Lord is immediately manifested before the pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is not aloof from the Lord even for a moment. The holy name of the Lord, as recommended in the Shastras, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can do better than that, come on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Good. May therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee, aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. One who is thus able to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of this created world, which is a product of the false ego. Tamasi mam jyotir gama. So who knows what is the translation of that? Tamasi mam jyotir gama. Come out of the darkness and come into the light. Jyotir means light. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. Come out of the ignorance of false ego and chant the holy name, which is light. Knowledge is light, and all knowledge is included in the sound of the Lord's name. So all the knowledge that you're looking for is found in Krishna's name. Krishna's name is the complete embodiment of knowledge through his spiritual sound representation. Okay. End of purport. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Vrindavanabhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swam Padatikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhutananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gauda Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So here we're speaking about the generation of the material elements. So creation, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, comes from the subtlest down. So the subtle element, what is the subtlest of all elements? False ego. That is the subtlest of all elements that the living entities desire to become the enjoyer. That is the basis of the false ego. And from that, it's explained, the Lord generates five, what we say, elements. Sky, air, fire, water, and earth. All different qualities of the false ego for the enjoyment of the living entity. In other words, the cosmic creation, this manifestation, is simply made of these five elements. If you examine anything in the physical realm of the material world, you'll find it's made of these five elements, a combination. Just like wood. What are the elements in wood? Who knows? Earth and fire. Fire is also within wood. It's like when you rub two sticks, sometimes the fire comes out, right? The fire sacrifice. And years ago, they did the fire sacrifice. They never had matches or lighters like we have. They would just rub the sticks. It's called Arani wood. And by that Arani wood, and then the fire would blaze like that. So fire is within all wood, actually. In some wood, it's more prominent than the other. So all the elements are a combination of different elements like that. All the forms are a different combination of different elements. Just like our body. It's an earthy body. Flesh is earth, but it's made mostly of water. And it also has fire in it for digestion. It also has what? Air for movement of the energies throughout the body, like that. And it also has Akash, too. There's also, sometimes we get Akash in the brain, space. We call it being spaced out. Heard of that, being spaced out? That's when the Akash goes up to the brain. Nobody's got any sense of humor. Everybody looks so serious, falling asleep on me. Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. All right, so the five elements are the manifestation of the living entity's desire to enjoy this material world. And so false ego is the basic principle. And therefore, false ego generates what is the first of all elements, sky. So again, that is the subtlest of all elements. The subtlest of all material elements generate this, its representation, sky, like that. And you'll see as you go on, from intelligence comes, like air, like that. And all the elements are connected to something. So even the scientists, they know that within the Akash, sound is there. Sound is powerful. Even material sound is powerful. Just like sometimes we see someone will sing. They have these opera singers, right? And they sing very high, very sopranic voices. And by the power of their sopranic voice, sometimes they can move physical objects. You've seen that? Where someone will sing loudly and a glass will break. That is not simply some caricature, some cartoon. Sound is a material element and it can actually change or move matter. So, what to speak of spiritual sound? How spiritual sound affects the living entity's consciousness. So when one chants the holy names of the Lord, that is putting spiritual sound vibration into our consciousness. And therefore there's a transformation in consciousness simply by the product of sound. Sound is very powerful, especially spiritual sound vibration. Like that. And in spiritual sound, as opposed to material, actually Prabhupada says in one lecture, all sound is spiritual. All sound is. Can you imagine that? How all sound can actually be spiritual? How is it possible that all sound is spiritual? It's like you hear the rumbling of a, you know, a car. Is that spiritual? Prabhupada said, all sound is spiritual in that all sound is coming from Krishna, and therefore, in connection with the material world, there's a covering of the illusionary energy over that sound, which gives it the material definition. As soon as you relieve that covering, then you see that all sound is actually spiritual. Even what is the sound that permeates the entire creation? Who knows what is that sound? Om, yeah. And what is that? Where is it coming from? Yeah, but what form? How's he giving it out? Can't hear you? Prabhupada? No. How is the sound? There is a sound in the entire universe. And if you listen, you can hear it. If you have the ears to hear. What is that sound? It's Om, yeah, but there's another one also that's connected with Om, which is one non-different than Om. Good guess, but it's not right. What does Krishna do? What is he doing on the altar there? Huh? He's playing the flute. So the sound of Krishna's flute is pervading the entire creation. And that sound is the Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri is the sound of Krishna's flute. Of course, there's different Gayatri Mantras, but which one is it? I think it's the Kama Gayatri, right? Kriyaniti? Kama Gayatri? You don't know for sure. But Krishna's flute. And if you listen very carefully, you can hear the sound of the flute. You have to have spiritual ears to hear it, though. So the sound is very powerful, and it's pervading the whole. So what is that sound vibration? That sound vibration is a transformation of consciousness. So every day we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. I always remember one time we were doing Harinam Sankirtan in New Orleans. You saw what happened to New Orleans. Krishna decided to destroy that city because it's really one of the lowest places on the planet. It's more or less some people call it, when they want to give a more or less a definition by material, sometimes we say the armpit. But I would think they would more like the evacuation hole of America. It's New Orleans. It's not a very nice place. So much crime, so much low quality, there's prostitution everywhere, drugs everywhere, there's murder everywhere. It's a very difficult city. Gambling, and every year in February they have what is called the Mardi Gras. I don't know if you've ever been to the Mardi Gras. The Mardi Gras is actually a Christian celebration, or somewhat of a paganistic celebration, wherein just before the advent of Lent, now Lent is 40 days. Lent lasts from 40 days before Easter, when Lord Jesus Christ went into the desert for 40 days and he fasted and he prayed. Now, during that time, Christians are supposed to fast from something. And the day that kicks off Lent is called Ash Wednesday. You go to church and the priest puts some ashes on your forehead. Like that. They actually make a cross on your forehead with ashes. And then that begins the 40 days. Now, prior to that Ash Wednesday, there is supposed to be a festival known as Mardi Gras. And that is before you give up all this, you know, austerity, you have a big party before then. And so Mardi Gras is that big party. So for 1 week, before Lent starts, people go to New Orleans and they get so intoxicated. And they just, it's just the most despicable scene you've ever seen. It's loud. Every shop has loud music blasting. People are intoxicated all over the streets. It's a very difficult scene. And then all the streets are blocked off. There's no cars. So it's a very difficult place. So one time we were doing Harinam. And we were chanting. We were going around Mardi Gras. This was early in the morning, so this wasn't like during the party time. And we passed by this one shop. And one lady, she came out of her shop screaming at the top of her lungs, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" It sounded like somebody was murdering her, really. So we just kept chanting, of course. The devotees are merciful. So we went around, and we came around again, came around the block and came back to the pastor shop again. Again, she came out and screamed at the loudest of her voice, "Stop that sound!" So we realized that this is actually a demon. People who are of the demoniac nature, they can't stand, they hear the sound vibration of Krishna's name. It becomes actually somewhat unpleasant. So you can see from this example that sound has a powerful effect on people. In this case, it was a negative effect. But generally, Krishna's name, when it enters into the heart of a devotee, or even people in general, what does it do? It transforms one's consciousness. It transforms one's consciousness. So the chanting of the holy name is meant to transform our consciousness and relieve us from what is called here, the subtlest of all material energies, is ahankara, or false ego. So here, Prabhupada explains what is ahankara, the desire to enjoy. The desire to enjoy. The living entity falls to the material world in order to somehow or other become the enjoyer. But Krishna says that he is Bhokta. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhidam sarva bhutanam yantramam shantam richchati. Krishna says, I am the enjoyer. He is the supreme enjoyer. He's the supreme controller. He's the supreme maintainer. He's the supreme, control, proprietor. Everything belongs to him. He's the supreme in all categories, especially the enjoyer. And the living entity cannot enjoy separate from Krishna. To try to enjoy separate from Krishna is another form of misery. Just see, all of you must know some materialistic person. I mean someone who has no inclination to spiritual life. And you see how miserable they are. Why? They're trying, and what are they trying to do? They're trying to enjoy at every moment. But they're trying to enjoy Krishna's energy. And one cannot enjoy the energy of the Lord without the Lord. But the energy of the Lord can be enjoyed when it's used in the service of the Lord. Then one, even the energy of the Lord becomes enjoyable for one who is engaged in devotional service. Why? Because he's connecting that energy with the source. So the sound vibration actually is a subtle form of the object. And in this case, in the spiritual aspects, it's none different than Krishna. It's none different than Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we're actually putting sound vibration on our consciousness. And there's a transformation that's going on. So sometimes devotees, when they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they struggle with the mind to keep the mind controlled. But Prabhupada said, don't worry about trying to control your mind. Just try to hear. So chanting means hearing. So therefore, how do you chant? You can chant whatever way you can, but one should hear. Hear. If you're chanting too softly and your mind's wandering, chant loudly. And then your mind will hear. If you're chanting too loudly and your mind's wandering, chant softer. In other words, one should hear very clearly that sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It says just once, one chants the holy name of the Lord purely. Look at the example with Ajamil. He had done everything wrong. He was a thief. He was a dacoit. Prabhupada said he was a kidnapper. He used to kidnap people and sell them back for money so he could get money to support his prostitute wife. So many bad things. But in the end of his life, somehow he had the good intelligence to name his son Narayan. Narayan is a name of God. It's a name of one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was the proprietor of all the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan. So he chanted his son's name. He was dying and he called out, Narayan. But when he heard the name Narayan, what did he think of? He thought of Narayan. And as soon as he remembered Narayan, all the reactions of all his sinful activities were completely nullified. He didn't attain pure devotion, but he attained freedom from all sinful reactions, simply by that chant. Simply by that chant. There was no more sinful reaction. That was the power of Lord Narayan's name. And of course, we understand that Krishna's name is even more powerful, because Narayan is simply an expansion of Krishna. So the name of Krishna is very powerful. If we chant it with devotion and with, what we say, enthusiasm. Yesterday we were discussing how the factor of mercy is so much a part of a devotee's life that the holy name and devotional service is mercy. But one of the regulative principles in Krishna consciousness is to pray. In fact, two of the regulative principles, we were reading yesterday in our Nectar Devotion study class, that two principles are, is one should offer prayers to the Lord, and one should offer notable prayers to the Lord. Notable prayers means prayers that come from the Shastra. These are regulative principles that should be done regularly. So offering regular prayers to the Lord means that one is encouraged to pray for the Lord's mercy, such as, my dear Lord, I'm about to chant my rounds. Give me your mercy. Our Lord Chaitanya, please advent yourself in the sound of your name. In other words, pray to Prabhupada, your spiritual master. Please give me the intelligence and the mercy to chant your name. So chanting is mercy, but we also are praying for that mercy. So that prayer actually allows for the mercy to manifest very, very powerfully in our japa. Because by attentive japa, Prabhupada says, all of your questions will be answered. Everything becomes clear. All the clouds of illusion and all the clouds of, what we say, ignorance become destroyed simply by the attentive chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Holy name of Krishna is so powerful, and it's been given special focus in this age, that simply through this holy name, everything is there. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalon Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age, there are various activities which make up the process of bhakti. But the principal activity is all is chanting the holy names of the Lord. And here Prabhupada says, a pure devotee, therefore, is not aloof from the Lord, even for a moment. because the Lord, because he's always chanting the holy names of Krishna, the sound vibration of Krishna's name. So to stay in touch with Krishna, one must somehow or other connect with Krishna. And to do that, the best and easiest way is to chant his name like that. But the most important part of the day is those 2 hours or whatever time it takes to chant our 16 rounds. That's the most important part of the day. Therefore, the Brahma Muhurta hour, which is the 48 minutes before sunrise, is that correct? 48 minutes before sunrise is considered Brahma Muhurta hour. A Muhurta is 48 minutes. So, what time is sunrise? About 6:40, something like that? Hmm? 5:40? Comes earlier. So, what is it now about? Near 6 o'clock. 5:50. So you might say 5:10 is the Brahma Muhurta hour, like that. The ideal time for chanting. Yes. Yeah, for a few minutes. And newspapers are always changing too. Anyway, the point is that this is the most ideal time to chant the holy names of the Lord. And Prabhupada recommends we chant our rounds early in the morning. How many of you have 16 rounds done? Mother Kristen, she gets up every morning at 2 o'clock and she chants her rounds. Very, not only she chants, you chant more than 16, right? You chant how many? Just beyond 16. And this is, Prabhupada said, chant at least 16 rounds. Of course, we say we don't have any time. But actually, we do. We do. We just don't know how to use our time. We can always, Prabhupada said, you can always make time. Krishna says, I am time. So time, it can be stretched according to, you know, how to best use time. Murari, he's always wondering how to get more time. Right? He's always got so much service, and he's thinking, I wish I had more time. But when we chant 16 rounds early in the morning, the day becomes longer. When you get your rounds done early, you'll find out you can get so many more things done throughout the day, and more efficiently, enthusiastically. When you don't finish your rounds early, or if you finish your rounds without any quality, the day doesn't really become so. It's a struggle to get through the day, to finish your rounds, to do your services like that. Because the holy name actually does everything. Prabhupada says, when Radharani, she is part of the holy name. Her name is Hari, or Hari, Hare. Hare Krishna means Radhe Krishna. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. That's the Mahamantra. So Radharani is there. So Radharani, she's making all arrangements for devotional service. So by chanting early in the day, just like sometimes we think, I can't do all my service. Yes, you can. All you have to do is chant your rounds early and you'll get all your service done. But if you don't chant your rounds, and you think I got so much service to do, you'll get something done, but you'll struggle, and you'll find out it becomes very difficult to do whatever you have to do. The best time management is to chant as early as you can. And Srila Prabhupada said that each round you chant before Mangal Arati is worth 4 rounds after Mangal Arati. This is a statement by Prabhupada. In other words, he said the potency is stronger before Mangal Arati than after Mangal Arati. So it's not that you chant 4 rounds before Mangal Arati and that's 4 times 4 is 16. It's not like that. The point is that the earlier you chant your rounds, the more you'll find the whole day becomes wonderful. So we have to adjust our schedules to do that. But these 2 hours, how many temples have 2 hours for japa? Very few. Some temples have an hour and a half. Some temples have an hour and 15 minutes. Most temples have an hour and a half to an hour and three quarters. Some temples have 2 hours also. So we're fortunate. We have two solid hours to absorb ourselves in Krishna's name. So wonderful. And you can chant practically all your rounds, at least 14 rounds within 2 hours. So this is the basis of associating with Krishna, purifying our consciousness, making spiritual advancement, and finding how our day actually becomes wonderful. Our day becomes wonderful. When we put Krishna first, Krishna puts us first. If we put him last, then everything else, you know, becomes difficult. So, therefore, we have to see the importance of not only chanting attentively, but chanting as early as possible. That is important. And it's in Krishna, and the holy name, ultimately, is the essence of all essences. People always sometimes complain to me that they're having some trouble in their spiritual life. When I say you're having trouble in your spiritual life, I say, how is your japa? What is the quality of your japa? What is your enthusiasm to chant? How much are you putting into that? And japa is not easy. Japa is difficult. Why? Because the mind just does not want to be controlled. The mind says, try to control me, forget it. I'm not going to be controlled by you. I got my own program. Right? But, therefore, we say japa is a battle. It's a war. It's a war against the restless mind. But you can win if you're determined. You can win if you're determined. So one has to chant very seriously every morning. And don't be afraid to chant loud. If your mind is wandering, chant a little louder. You'll hear the sound more clearer. So chanting is everything, actually. Lord Chaitanya showed by example how everything is based on chanting, really. If you do everything and don't chant, you get nothing. if you chant and don't do nothing else, Sunil will not be happy. So that's not the idea. So you have to chant, and if you chant and do your service, and you find a nice balance between service and chanting, each one becomes nice. If you have too much service, then it's an imbalance, and there's not enough time for chanting and hearing. And if you're just too chanting and hearing all day, and you're not doing enough service, then the quality of your chanting and hearing is not really developing, because service enhances the quality of your chanting. Because by serving, we're putting ourselves in our natural constitutional position. So we need a nice balance of chanting. Therefore, as much as we can, chant early 16 rounds on beats very carefully. I'm emphasizing this because wherever I go around the world, I give seminars. And one of the seminars that people like to hear is japa workshop. I give a japa workshop seminar. And everyone is interested in how to improve their japa, how to improve their japa, how to improve. And there's so many hints and ways you can improve your japa. There's many, many things you can do to see the importance of japa. But the most important thing is that we have to be reminded of the fact of how important our chanting is. It's practically everything. We see that devotees who are fixed in Krishna consciousness have a taste for the holy name. Those who have no taste for the holy name, or very little taste, are struggling, and after some time they usually go away. We have to develop that taste. Nam Ruchi. For Nam Ruchi, Jiva Doya, Vaishnav Seva. These are the three principal subjects of Vidur. A taste for the holy name, service to the Vaishnavas, compassion to the fallen souls. These are the three principles that make up Krishna consciousness process. Serve the devotees, chant the holy name, and show compassion to the ignorance by helping them become Krishna conscious. And these, if you focus on these three, you'll have no problem, because they make up everything. So, and the holy name reigns supreme amongst everything, because the holy name is the Yuga Dharma. It is the means for self-realization in this age. Everything centers around the holy name. Chant, chant, chant. Can't, can't, can't. Chanting is everything, really. And we have kirtan, too. Kirtan's also chanting. Kirtan is also chanting. So one should chant japa, and one should chant. And that's the sound representation of the Lord. So one who wants to be constantly in touch with the Lord will constantly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. And you can learn, there's an art you can learn where you can chant even while you're doing work. Just chant. Don't be afraid to walk around and just chant. Just chant. If you, just chant. Just chant, that's all. When you're cooking, chant. You're walking to the store, chant. You're taking prasadam, chant. Prabhupada said that the Goswamis, they used to eat prasad, and they would take a bite and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They would chant the holy name while taking prasad. It's just so powerful. Anything we do, we can chant. And then after a while, by practicing chanting, the chanting becomes internalized. And then it goes on in your mind, even when you're working. The holy name will continue. You can practice chanting silently. You can practice chanting loudly while you're doing things. But chant, chant, chant. And that way you'll always be in touch with the spiritual energy. Even while you're doing your service. Don't think, if I'm chanting, I can't do my service. You can. Exactly, your service becomes easier and more natural when you're chanting the holy name. Krishna gives you the intelligence how to do things. Chanting is so wonderful. Chanting is everything. We live to chant, we chant to live. Chant, chant, chant. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Karuna Nidhi? When you chant the holy name in the first stages, you realize that Krishna is non-different from his name. And as you perfect your chanting or you make advancement, then Krishna reveals his form through the name. So the form becomes prominent in the Lord's name. And as you continue to chant, then Krishna's qualities are understood through the holy name. And then gradually Krishna's lila. That's why the Goswamis, they were writing books on Krishna's lila. But what were they doing? They were seeing the lila in their minds. It wasn't like they were just writing some philosophy down. They were actually seeing Krishna lila. Through the holy name, they were actually entering into the lilas. And you can see that in the writings of Rupa Goswami. That he was actually seeing Krishna's lila. There was one time, Rupa Goswami, there was one story. He was meditating and he was in Krishna Leela. And something funny happened in the Leela. So he laughed. He laughed out loud. And some sage was passing by. And the sage thought he was laughing at him. So he became upset. And then all of a sudden, Rupa Goswami's meditation broke. And he was wondering, what happened? And then he tried to meditate again, and he couldn't. Then he went to Sanatan Goswami and told him what happened. Sanatan Goswami said, did you commit some offense against some Vaishnava or something? He said, no. But then he remembered this one sage was walking by when he was laughing. song. The sage was thinking mistakenly that he was laughing at him. But there's two parts. But the point is, he was so absorbed in the Leela that he was experiencing the Leela in his absorption. This is transcendence. Transcendence is contacted through what we call meditative devotion. When we meditate in Krishna's name, we enter into these things. Yes. There's the Namrup right on the altar. Krishna's form in the Krishna's name in the form of the deity. It's none different. Krishna's form as Krishna and Krishna's name as Krishna is the same. That's Namrup. It's Rup, but it's also Namrup. But just like, okay, so what is the Namrup of Yasoda Nandana? Little boy. What is the Namrup of Radha Raman? He's with Radharani. So each of the names denote a particular pastime. So that name has a form within, based on the quality of that pastime. And chanting at the same time? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.